Hi, everyone. I'm Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway. Last year, the number of children in foster care decreased for the first time since 2011. That's according to data from the Department of Health and Human Services. It's a relatively small drop from 440,000 in 2017 to a little over 437,000 in 2018. And today on The Takeaway, we're zooming in on this small decline. And one place to look is New Orleans. A couple of weeks ago, The Washington Post profiled juvenile court Justice Ernestine S. Gray. Under Justice Gray's purview, the number of children in foster care dropped by 89% between 2011 and 2017. And The Takeaway spoke with Judge Gray about it.
Obviously, we have to protect the children, but in protecting them, we also should honor the family connections. And so we have to work really hard at the beginning of a case to try to make sure that when we are separating children from their families, it's absolutely necessary for their safety and their protection.
Most judges and social service workers would agree that you only remove a child from their family when absolutely necessary. But that doesn't mean that they all agree on what qualifies as absolutely necessary. And that's why the number of children in foster care is so different in Judge Gray's jurisdiction than in the rest of Louisiana.
Many of the problems we see in child welfare are related to poverty. And so a large percentage of the minority community is poor. I think it's related to that. So a lot of the reason is related to poverty and lack of resources in the various communities that people can connect to help them when they are in crisis. So part of the problem we have is people have to come to the attention of the child welfare system before they can get help. They may reach out for help many times and are unable to get it. And then something really bad happens and then child welfare is called.
Racial stereotypes can sometimes factor into the determination of who gets the attention of child welfare services and who gets removed from their homes. In 2017, according to the nonprofit Child Trends, 23% of foster care children in the United States were Black, despite making up only 14% of the population. In New York City, child welfare workers remove children from their homes for seemingly minor issues in a way that advocates say punishes Black and Hispanic mothers. But while social workers and child welfare officers can remove a child from a home if they determine abuse or neglect, it's the judge who has the final say over the case.
I think clearly there are times when my assessment of the situation is different from theirs. And so as a judge, I'm allowed to have that. So they present their case to me. I look at the facts and the evidence that they're presenting and decide whether or not I believe it's appropriate to allow them to take custody of their children. And there are times when I disagree with their assessment, yes. And when I disagree with their assessment, I don't put the children in foster care. I say we have to do something different. But so I'm not one to say just because the department calls with a request, I have to give them what they're asking for. That's not my job. My job is not to rubber stamp. My job is really to make an assessment of the situation and decide based on the law, based on the facts that they give me, whether or not I think, ultimately it's the judge's decision, whether or not I think under the circumstances it is appropriate to remove the children.
But because Judge Gray has drastically lowered the rates of children in foster care in New Orleans, doesn't mean she thinks that foster care should be eliminated altogether.
Sometimes all of our efforts, we make a lot of efforts and they're not successful. And in those cases, you know, I make the hard decision that the best interest of the children require that the parents' rights be terminated, that they be freed for adoption. Ultimately, hopefully, they are adopted.
I want to bring in two different perspectives on the issue. We'll start with Dr. David Sanders. He's the Executive Vice President of Systems Improvement at Casey Family Programs and used to run the L.A. County Department of Child and Family Services. And he told me that while foster care is supposed to be a short-term intervention, that's not always the way it works in practice.
25% of children in foster care have been there for 2 years or longer without a permanent family. That's a concern. That would suggest that many children are staying in foster care for much longer than they need to and much longer than the legal structure allows for.
But it's not always clear what's best for the child when judges and social workers disagree.
One of the things we did look at in a recent Maryland study was what happens when the child welfare worker recommends that the child not go home and the judge sends the child home from foster care anyway.
That's Richard Barth, and he's the dean of the University of Maryland School of Social Work.
When the judge recommended that the child go home, even when the child welfare worker said that they shouldn't, the likelihood that that child would come back into foster care following a new event of child abuse and neglect was twice as high. So it's really important that judges and child welfare workers understand each other and respect each other's views about what the real risks are. I think this is really the first study that's looked at this and shown that the likelihood of a poor decision that results in a child being reabused is about twice as high when the judge overrules the child welfare worker.
While the goal of the Casey Family Programs is to reduce the use of foster care, Barth argues that we should be thinking about reforming foster care because it can help children in need. And he has a different perspective on the high number of children of color currently in foster care.
Well, it certainly is true that there are a disproportionate to the population number of African-American children in particular in foster care. But the bigger question, I think, is the use of foster care disproportionate to the needs of those children? And what we see is that the outcomes for African-American children who remain at home are also disproportionately adverse. They have more mortality. They have more involvement with the criminal justice system. So one of the goals that we all need to have is to make sure that when we do use foster care, because sometimes we need to, that it's really high-quality foster care. We have many opportunities to improve foster care, and those improvements in foster care would disproportionately benefit African-American children, in my view.
But how much money and political will is there to actually improve foster care, especially when it's disproportionately used in communities of color and poor communities? That's what's being addressed in the Family First Prevention Services Act, which Congress passed last year. It provides funds and reforms to help keep children with their families, and the goal is to avoid having these children taken away by foster care agencies in the first place, which can be traumatizing for the child and the parent. Here's David Sanders again from Casey Family Programs. In 2016, he worked on a report for the Congressional Commission to eliminate child abuse and neglect fatalities, and he was a proponent of the new law.
The way the Child Protection Agency is structured today is that agencies wait for children to be abused or neglected before intervening, in spite of the fact that we have more and more evidence of who's at risk for later abuse or neglect. I think that the focus that we need to stay clear on is that we are better off assuring that children aren't abused or neglected in the first place and using the tools that we have to make that happen versus waiting for children to be abused or neglected or even killed.
That was Dr. David Sanders, the Executive Vice President of Systems Improvement at Casey Family Programs, and Richard Barth, the Dean of the University of Maryland School of Social Work. Foster care is a very fraught issue, and we asked you for your experiences with the foster care system. And here's what you had to say.
Hi, this is Jennifer, and I'm calling from Texas. I have been a foster parent, and the biggest challenges that I saw were kids constantly returning to places where they were unsafe, only to have to reenter the system again and again.
Hi, my name is Kevin. I'm calling from Florida, and I was a foster parent for 3 years. The caseworkers are overworked, underpaid, and another thing is the whole system is skewed to where the bio parents, they bend over backwards for the bio parents, and the foster parents have very low standing in the system, I guess.
My name is Susan. I used to be a social worker for the Department of Health and Human Services Child Abuse Division. The biggest issues I witnessed is a huge shortage of good foster care homes. It was extremely hard to place siblings in the same foster home. It's also extremely difficult to place older children and teens and children with special needs and behavior problems.
Hi, my name is Rachel. I'm from Mount Olive, New Jersey. My grandmother has done foster care for as long as I can remember, ever since I was like 5. The foster care system is amazing. I don't really have anything negative to say about it. However, the older generation of foster kids are a little bit more intense. All of the children aged 12 and up were just a lot of trouble. They made things really hard on my grandmother and the family, which is understandable. They're older. They've seen more. They have more trauma. It just makes it really hard for older kids to get taken in from other foster families.
8778-MY-TAKE is our number. This is The Takeaway.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.